Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, fellow football fan. Welcome to the Home of Football, a podcast powered by 433. The USA will travel to the World Cup in Qatar with the youngest squad of the tournament. After missing out on the 2018 World Cup, the team went through a massive overhaul. DeAndre Yedlin is the last man standing from the squad who went to the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. The USA now has a very interesting team, full of promising young players who haven't yet reached their full potential, such as Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, and Sergiño Dest. What can we expect from this squad at the upcoming World Cup? And what's the local football culture like in the US, where the MLS is growing fast? I spoke with a U.S. men's national team legend, an American football journalist, and a current USA international to find out. My name is Sam Verhaalte, and welcome to the Home of Football, a podcast powered by 433.
Rolling it in, Shaq Moore cutting it back. Ariola knocked down. Ferreira's there. 3-0 United States.
This is Weah for the U.S.
Let's start with the local football culture in the US. Claudio Reyna was the USA captain when they achieved its biggest success at a World Cup, making it to the quarterfinals in 2002. After a successful career as a player in Europe and the US, he became a sporting director. Claudio Reyna played a big role in the growth of New York City FC and left in 2019 to build up Austin FC. The Texan club became an instant success in its inaugural 2021 season, selling out all their home games. They subsequently made it to the MLS playoffs this year. Needless to say, Austin FC is one of the fastest growing clubs in a fast growing league. So, I called Claudio Reyna to find out what's happening in MLS. Here's Claudio Reyna on the recent growth of the American League.
I think starting on the field, the level has improved tremendously. And that's with the investment and the support from ownership and to continue to bring in good players, but even more so in recent years, good young talent, not only from the international sort of recruitment, but domestically as well. There's been a big investment in MLS academies and a lot of youth talent has come through the system. On the field, the level has been fantastic. The stadiums that have been being built, the soccer-specific stadium, as we say here in the U.S., because for many years when the league first started, going back 25 years ago, the teams were playing in American football stadiums, which isn't ideal because they're very big or they're artificial. And now the league continues to increase the amount of stadiums that we have that create a great atmosphere. It's great for television, great environment inside the stadium. And so, you know, when you see these coming together, the, you know, the stadiums, the investment in players, and also the continued investment in really, you know, good staff, coaches, performance staff, recruitment in all areas, you know, we're catching up and continue to improve. And you could see it. You could see all the work that's happening across the league. And, you know, really, I would say probably if you really look at the last 10 years with all of that, you know, you feel that there's a real credibility that the league is getting and respect as well from, you know, football players around the world, agents and other clubs and scouts that come watch our players, which, you know, in all honesty, didn't exist probably a decade ago. So, you know, it needs to continue to grow, but we're in a really good path. And in a short period of time, I don't think there's a league in the world that's grown as good and has become as strong as MLS.
Yeah. And in which ways do you think the league can still improve?
I think we still need to improve coaching, especially in youth academies. We need to continue to provide good experiences for our youth players because, you know, when you look at Europe, they have an advantage of being able to play just across borders against great teams and great clubs. You know, a team from Holland and Germany and England and Spain and Portugal, they can all compete against each other. So we have to find ways to continue to give experiences to our youth players that prepare them for the next level. And that's something that we continue to explore and create a strategy as a league. You know, we have with Mexico, a really good football country as a neighbor, but we need more than that. So, you know, what other experiences can we bring to our youth players because they need it? The league average of the players has gotten younger every year from across the league. And I think that's a good sign as well. And hopefully we can continue the recent trend of being able to sell players, because it's a big part of all of our business models is to sell players to most likely Europe, you know, and really all across the board. I think, you know, it's coaching, you know, more experience for our players, our refereeing needs to get better. And I think we just need to be open about it. And I think that's something as a league, we are united well, I think, which is good. You know, we do have meetings often about how do we improve the product on the field. And, you know, we need to have honest conversations with this. And so we are improving, but we know, you know, we're competing against the rest of the world and there's great leagues and great countries. And to get better, we have to have best practices and really high standards in everything we do. So, you know, but again, we also have to be proud because in the 5, 10, 15 years, you're looking back to where we are today, we are progressing, but we have to keep pushing.
Of course, Austin FC is growing very fast, like selling out every game in the first season, making it to the playoffs second season. So how do you look back at the first years of the club so far as the sporting director?
Yeah, very successful launch of the club. It's just our second season. And there's no doubt that Austin is a thriving football city with an incredible fan base, supporters that are passionate about the team. You know, we've been building everything on the football side from scratch, including the academy, the first team. And next season, we start our second team that competes in MLS Next Pro. So still a lot of growth happening, but, you know, very happy with where we're at. We have an identity of how we play, which is a big credit to our coach, Josh Wolf. And, you know, this year we're in the Western Conference final. So we've been able to also now translate the off field enthusiasm and excitement onto the field. And it's it's been special really to see this all come together in such a short period. Incredible, passionate fans, educated as well about the game, who truly love the team and are connected with it. And, you know, it's a big credit to our ownership group as well, because they've, you know, as a club, you know, one of the goals we had was to really connect with the community. And we've really done that. And I think that's very important. When you look around the world, successful football clubs are very united with the community and what they do. And, you know, and that's what certainly I hear around town, is that the fans really love what Austin FC has brought to the city. And, you know, we're really excited about the future. You know, it's just 2 years. We have to continue growing. We have to continue learning. But, you know, it's absolutely a successful couple of years for the club, and so many people deserve credit.
Yeah, that's a good segue, because Austin FC recently started a partnership with PSV Eindhoven. So in which ways do you think this will help the club?
Yeah, in many different ways. You know, PSV is a similar club to Austin, where, you know, for us, we felt they, from a youth development side, and especially Holland, has got an incredible track record and history of developing players for decades, going back to the 70s and 80s, of course, with Ajax and Feyenoord and PSV as well. So they have know-how, they have experience. They've done it, you know, so for us to be able to visit their coaches and players and teams is an advantage to understand the European world. We sent our under-17s already there in August. We're going to send our under-14s in March or April. And really to understand better, you know, how they do things. And the partnership is mostly focused on youth development, which includes everything in that area. Like I said, coaching, how do they work with players at 9, 10, 11 years old. And, you know, I felt it was important for us to have a partner like them. They're very open-minded. We have a fantastic relationship with them. And in our off season, we plan on sending some players. Our head coach is going to visit and spend time with Ruud van Nistelrooy. Really, you know, opening our minds and educating ourselves. I was fortunate enough to be in Europe, and I understand the level there of coaching, of playing, of pressure, of intensity, of tactics. And, you know, they are, you know, leading the way in world football. So for our staff here, to be able to have a club like PSV, you know, as a partner, is fantastic. And at the same time, you know, PSV sees, you know, Austin FC, but also America, as an emerging club and country that for them is important as well to learn how we do things. And, you know, they love our competitive spirit in the United States. And, you know, there's many things as well that they've said that they can learn from us and our league and how we're doing things. So we're really happy with that partnership.
Cool. Just come to think of it, a famous movie star is actually one of the co-owners of Austin FC, right? Matthew McConaughey. What's his involvement in the club like?
Yeah, he sends texts, you know, like when we win, he's a really proud supporter. He's visited the training ground. He's given motivational talks to our team, you know, and he's very much an Austin FC supporter. He's local, and certainly many fans around the globe identify with Matthew and Austin FC together. So yeah, it's great to have him as a fan, as a supporter. And, you know, he's rooting us on all the time. So from a day-to-day perspective, not as much, because like I said, he's really busy, but he's always sending messages to the head coach and myself and the players. And so you definitely feel his support. And so it's great to have him.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming World Cup. The US is in Group B with England, Wales and Iran. This group actually has the highest average FIFA ranking, making it, on paper, the toughest group. The Americans have a promising young team, but their last two friendlies didn't go as planned, losing to Japan and drawing with Saudi Arabia. So, manager Greg Berhalter still has some work to do. Leander Schaarlakens is a renowned football journalist who currently writes for The Ringer. He's also working on a book about the US men's national team. I called him for this podcast. Here's Leander Schaarlakens on the state of the U.S. men's national team going into this World Cup.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's a very strange World Cup for this U.S. I think they just missed their first World Cup in 2018 for the first time since 1986. So that was a big shock. American soccer believed that they had progressed to a point where that couldn't happen anymore, especially from the CONCACAF region. And what that debacle resulted in was kind of a reboot for the national team, where it gave them an excuse and really a necessity to start rebuilding the national team with a very, very, very talented generation that's also extremely young. This U.S. is expected to go to Qatar with the youngest team there, certainly the most inexperienced team there. There will probably be only one team member, DeAndre Yedlin, who is the second string right back, who has been to a World Cup at all. And the same goes for the coaching staff, by the way. And what we've seen with this young team is that for all of the talent, for all of the Christian Pulisics and Gio Reynas and Yunus Musas and all these incredibly promising young players, is that like all young teams, they're very unpredictable. There are days when everything clicks and they are a wonderful young team and they seem like they could really do something at the World Cup, survive the group stage, maybe even a little bit more than that. And then there are times like their last friendlies against Japan and Saudi Arabia, where nothing was working and they were outplayed by Japan is a pretty good team, but Saudi Arabia is not. And they just couldn't get anything together. And so American fans are very, very nervous about this World Cup because we just have no idea what to expect.
Hmm. You recently wrote an article about Greg Berhalter and the way the staff approaches this World Cup. And you also wrote that some of the critique he's been getting is that his approach is maybe too dogmatic for this squad. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think Greg Berhalter is in a tricky position because this is a young team that obviously needs a lot of structure and that needs systems to be able to compete at the international level because the players are so inexperienced and because some of them don't play very much at the club level, like Christian Pulisic, who ostensibly is the best player on the team or certainly the face of the team, just isn't getting on the field all that much for Chelsea and hasn't been for some time now. So I think that Berhalter is trying to kind of remedy that problem by really creating a repeatable system and something that the players can hold on to when games are difficult, when situations are difficult. But the issue there is that there have been a lot of injuries. And for instance, he likes to play out of the back, but the defenders who are best at that, you know, have been injured or have been absent in the same way that some of his midfield core, Weston McKennie of Juventus, Tyler Adams of Leeds United, and Pulisic, who often plays in a kind of 10 role, haven't actually gotten to play together for the national team very much because of injuries and because of different problems. So he's kind of caught in a place where he's trying to bring structure to a team that needs it, but also that structure isn't always working because he doesn't necessarily have the right players for it.
Mm. Yeah, you mentioned the injuries. There are also players like Pulisic, like you mentioned. Sergino Dest isn't playing a whole lot. What does that mean for the U.S. men's national team, that some of the more important players in the team, or potentially most important players in the team, are not getting regular playing time at their clubs?
That is a problem, that players like Sergino Dest, who even when he was at Barcelona was getting a lot more playing time than he is right now at AC Milan, which is ostensibly a step back. Pulisic, Gio Reyna, you know, spent more than a year being injured all the time and is only now sort of getting back to full match fitness. And so every time he gets on the field, everybody just kind of crosses their fingers that he makes it off without getting hurt. So that's a concern as well, where you have the energy and the talent and the exuberance of a young team. But when that is offset by club situations where guys just aren't playing as much as they need to be playing, that's another concern and another X factor going into a World Cup that is full of variables as it is.
Let's hear from one of the U.S. internationals as well. Kellen Acosta is a 27-year-old defensive midfielder who plays for LAFC and has 52 caps for the US. He made his international debut in 2016. Here's Kellen Acosta and what it meant to him when he got to represent his country.
Well, for starters, I didn't know I was starting until I think that day or the day before. So I was just super excited. I mean, for me, I played a bunch of, youth national teams, but to represent your country at the senior level, I mean, it means everything. I think that was just a dream come true for me. I had butterflies. I had a bit of nerves. I was excited. But I think for me, it was one of those things where it was like a first step into my journey.
Yeah. So, of course, football or soccer, as you call it in the US, is not the number one sport in the country. So how did you get involved with the sport?
Yeah, I mean, it was my first sport and I just fell in love with the game right away. I think at a young age, I excelled. And so, you know, when you're good at something, you enjoy it a little bit more. So I think I got to give my family a lot of credit. For me, it was just about just learning and growing. I mean, I had a local team, the Dallas Burn at the time, so I was able to go to games to really see the professional environment, watch players that I aspire to be. And from then on, I kind of continually grew, and I started watching other leagues, started watching like the Barcelonas, the Chelseas, the Man Uniteds, and Real Madrids. And I just fell in love with the sport. And I was like, this is something that I want to do. And it's for me, it was just like, okay, this is something I want to pursue that I just got to continue at it.
Cool. So you've been a vital part of the team that won 2 Gold Cups and the CONCACAF Nations League. Do you think you'll make the squad, the World Cup squad?
I mean, I hope so. I hope you don't know until you know. I mean, you're definitely optimistic. Like, you're in the good graces of the coach that you played well and, you know, he can count on you. But you just don't know. I think it's a bit nerve-wracking for everyone, right? Because it's the world's biggest tournament at the biggest stage, and I mean for all of us, it's a childhood dream to play, not even for your national team, but play in a World Cup. So from my standpoint, yeah, I mean I hope I'm there, but you don't know until you know. But for me, I mean I want to just take it all in, step on the field, enjoy the moment, and make my country proud. All our hard work and, all the trainings and meetings and the qualifications to get to this point. I mean, it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy road. But, now at this point where it's the World Cup and it's something that, that will be with us for the rest of our lives. So we really got to enjoy it for each and every game and treat every game like a final. I mean, we're not going there just to be, participants. We want to compete, first and foremost, get out of group. And then from then on, I mean, it's anyone's game.
Yes, exactly. So, of course, there's it's a tough group with England, Wales, and Iran. What do you think the chances are of the U.S. team in this group?
Yeah, I think it's definitely positive. But obviously, we got to bring it every single game because these are tough teams, and no team should be taken lightly. It's the World Cup is a different beast. I mean, whatever we faced before, it's totally different. I think, although like we want to play exciting and beautiful football, but sometimes these games may not be the case and we got to figure out ways to, adapt to what the game brings us and figure out ways to win, adapt and conquer. And I think, we have a great squad that can figure out ways to do that on the field. But now it's about not just talking, but just executing.
I also asked Claudio Reyna what his best advice is for the young American players going into this World Cup. Here's Claudio.
Really enjoy it. It comes and goes so fast. That's what I always tell everybody, So, make sure you prepare yourself. You play for the team. At any moment, any player is going to be needed. And to really, every minute, really enjoy it, be focused. And have no fear. I think that's the most important advice I can give. And I think that's at least what I tell, my son, who's one of the players on the team, is, just enjoy it. You got to have fun, give everything as well for your country. It's a special feeling that is hard to describe until you actually walk out for a game, because, it's the only time really where the entire world is watching you play. There's no other game on TV. So you have to, you know, enjoy the moment. You know, it's every kid's dream to play in a World Cup. So, yeah, have fun and be fearless and enjoy the moment, because they are special, you know, times in your life and career.
The next World Cup after Qatar in 2026 will be held in the US, Canada and Mexico. So, a lot of American football fans feel like the upcoming World Cup in Qatar is the ultimate test case for the US men's national team. They are already looking past this World Cup and at the 2026 tournament they will host. It's more important for them that the team is at its peak then. Here's Leander Schaardakens.
4 years is a very, very long time in football, right? But at the same time, these guys are so young and they're so inexperienced that this almost feels like kind of a general rehearsal for the 2026, when all of these guys are going to be in their prime, and assuming that everybody's career progresses well, it does feel to me like a bit of a practice World Cup, even though that might seem a little harsh. And a World Cup is still a World Cup, and expectations will be that they or the demand will be that they make it out of the group stage. I do think a lot of people that pay close attention to this team are also looking ahead to 26.
Here's Claudio Reyna on what he expects the 2026 World Cup will do for the development of football culture in the U.S.
I think it'll be a huge leap forward again. We had the World Cup in 94. I was part of that team, but that was really new. And that was sort of this nation that still was growing with the sport and wasn't getting a lot of media attention. That's totally different now. So I'd imagine it's going to be massive. It's going to, you know, bring the sport really to a whole new platform. You know, to have all the best teams and players in the world, in the United States, of course, in Mexico and Canada, competing is going to be great for our fans, for the next generation of fans. I think you'll see, you know, also not an immediate effect, but you will see it in 5, 10, 15 years after the 2026 World Cup, because we're going to have, you know, more players who want to play, more players who want to dream to play in MLS and in Europe and represent the United States. So it's going to be amazing. You know, the media coverage is going to be huge. I would expect there's going to be significant investment and continued investment into the sport, which is very important for us to continue to grow. So, you know, the parallel growth of MLS together with the World Cup coming here is just going to, you know, take the sport to a whole new level. And I kind of, like I said before, you know, we haven't hit our ceiling at all yet as a country. We're on a wave, and the wave is growing, and it's moving. And, you know, when I grew up, you know, I honestly would say I didn't even know if soccer would make it in this country. And that's long gone now. It's absolutely here to stay, and not only just stay, but really grow and become a real power in American sports. And as you know, we compete against other big American sports. And I do think after the World Cup, you know, my hope and wish is that we are in the same conversations as NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. And there's no doubt it'll happen. And I think 2026 will just be, you know, another major step for the sport in our country.
But first, let's see how far this young, energetic team will go at the World Cup in Qatar. I want to thank Claudio Reyna, Leander Schaarlakens and Kellen Acosta for their interviews. Follow this podcast to never miss an episode. And if you want to have early access to our podcast episodes, download the 433 app. It's free, and our podcast episodes are published there a week earlier than on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. All right, my name is Sam van Raalte. Thank you for listening, and on to the next story in the home of football.
Hi guys, Frank here. I just filmed the podcast with 433.
I'm Ria Ferdinand.
I'm Mario Götze.
My name is Clarence Seedorf.
Hi, I'm Sunil Chetri. I just finished my podcast with 433.
Hi 433 fans, it's Don Robbie in the building, right? And we are here for a great podcast. I want you to check it out.
Hi 433, I am Fabrizio Romano. Check out my story on the podcast. It was a great pleasure.
Mom
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.